I'm here pro se, and I see, having sat here, I wore my pro se suit. I should have selected a dark one, but in any case, I'll proceed.
Considering the various attires we have here, you should feel no concern about that.
The parties in this dispute agree that there is a shareholder agreement. I committed myself to that agreement in 1996 by signing it. We agree that I am obligated to cast a vote in favor of a board that is comprised of a majority of involved directors. But we have a dispute as to what constitutes involved directors. When I signed onto that agreement, I did not understand involved directors meant the same as management employees. The definition and the position taken by the management of these corporations is that you can only vote for management employees in this control group.
What else could it mean? It would seem to me to mean directors that are involved in the management of the company.
It could mean shareholders. It could mean former employees. It could mean advisors to those persons. It could mean spouses to those persons. If you adopt the position of the defendants, which the district court seemed to, what you have done is eliminate it. You've translated involved to meaning management employees. The agreement then reads, every shareholder is required to vote for a board comprised of a majority of management employees, which shall include the president.
Speaking
and other
in broad general terms, you got two types of directors, management directors and non-management directors. And when you say involved, it means, I suggest to me at least, that they're management directors.
That, I think, is the adoption of the defendants, except what does that do to the word involved? Why do you use the word involved? The word involved is placed in quotation marks. That signifies that word requires interpretation and definition in context. That's what that punctuation indicates. What we have is a situation where they translate the word involved to mean only management employees. Why is that incorrect? Because number one, why say involved? Why not say management employees? Number two, the word, the clause, which is referred to by the definition, by the defendants as the qualifying clause, uses the permissive word may include management employees in this group. It does not say shall. To reach the defendant's interpretation, you either have to do two things. You have to translate involved. You have to strike the word involved and replace it with management employee, which then makes sense according to their interpretation. Or you leave involved and then you strike the word may. It can't be read any other way. What they interpret strikes the word may and converts that second part of the conjunctive clause to a mandatory. In other words, you cannot have someone in the control group who is not a management employee. Why do I contest that? Because the language does not say that. So I'll move to my next point. The defendants argue that the word shall include the president refers to a majority as opposed to the involved group. My position is that you can only do that by ignoring the quotation marks. If you recognize...
But what sense would it make to say that the president would be an involved director? I think that's obvious. Why would you have to put it in the agreement? I mean, the president is involved in the management of the company, obviously. So.
Well, the drafter went to special effort to craft this language that restricts the kind of employees that can qualify as involved. And I've addressed my complaints about that language. It refers to only those people with unique business experience that's valuable, that's deemed important to the corporation. The president is defined in that clause as having that qualification. So the
well, one would assume that he did have those qualifications, wouldn't it? I mean, what I have a problem with your interpretation that somehow this the involved director includes the president. It seems to me it's obvious that an involved director includes the president. So why would you have to put it in this form?
I think it would indicate it would meet the criteria that's set forth for other employees. I'm not sure what other management employees would not qualify under that definition. So, yes, I would concede that the president would qualify as a management employee under those terms that are later stated. I have trouble, and I think the court would have trouble, explaining what kind of employee would not qualify for that. In essence, if you remove shall include the president, and if you conclude that that is an automatic, then you're left with this definition that says the shareholder must vote for an involved director, which may include certain management employees. And what does that indicate? I mean, you really have removed any definition at all from involved from the word in the quotation marks. That's one of the problems we have. If you attribute and if you automatically include president in the definition of majority, as the defendants argue, such that the president is automatically on the board, then what is left to define involved? Then you have a statement that says involved directors, which may include certain management employees with these certain criteria. You have a permissive statement which limits only certain management employees, but it does not indicate who is not involved. Is the shareholder involved?
May can be a limiting word, can it? It may include other management employees, and the inference there is it may not include others, I think, isn't it?
Well, I don't think the grammar will support that, because if you read the sentence and you, according to your interpretation, you simply strike the word may, you end up in
that
result.
No, you don't strike it, but it can be limiting. It's not mandatory, but it can be limiting.
Well, I did address that in my brief, and the grammar that applies to this indicates that it is not permissive because of the use of the comma, because of the use of the word which as opposed to that. And further, if you read the sentence and you strike may, you end up with the result that the defendants advance. That is, that they say involved directors shall include the president and management employees. That's the interpretation they advance. If you add the word may, you come to the exact opposite interpretation based on the words that are advanced. One legal argument that we have concerns whether the rules of construction need to be applied before parole evidence is admitted. The leading case in this circuit seems to be Bork versus Dun and Bradstreet, and we've quoted in the brief the portion of the language that indicates that before parole evidence, extrinsic evidence is considered or admitted, that the court should read the language and attempt, after applying rules of construction, including contra preferentum, to decide what the language, the intent of the language, indicates. And in our case, we have a case where the defendants drafted this agreement. And if there are two reasonable interpretations, then the defendants must have that interpretation strictly construed against them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Mr. Roach?
May it please the court. Judge Gettleman, in his decision, said these words: the plaintiff's interpretation of the voting clauses flies in the face of logic and reason. And then he went on and said, it does nothing but contort the clear and definite meaning of the voting clauses. I think Judge Gettleman's words also provide a way for this court to review this case, and that is, to look at the clear and definite language of the agreement and to apply sound logic and reason. The company's position is that the plain language of this agreement says that the shareholders of this company are to vote their shares so that the board that is elected has a majority of involved directors. And then it tells the shareholders that that majority of involved directors is to be comprised of the president, but the shareholders will be allowed to choose what other involved directors they want to have. That is the may-shall distinction. It shall include the president, and it may include other management employees having significant business and management expertise. In other words, the three shareholders who drafted this agreement, and Mr. Miniat was not one of them, said that we are going to make sure that the president's in the majority, but we're going to leave it up to the voting shareholders to decide which of the other people that meet this criteria, management employees having significant business business and management expertise deemed uniquely qualified and valuable to the corporation's business, which of that class of people should comprise the rest of the majority of involved directors. And then says two people are deemed to have these qualifications: the plaintiff's father and the plaintiff's uncle, Ed Miniat and Ron Miniat. The plaintiff's complaint about there being some ambiguity with this word may in the language is purely a hypothetical complaint. And what I mean is it's in the realm of what ifs and asking the court for advisory opinions. And I'll explain why. Judge Gettleman saw this in his reconsideration opinion. And the court said that what the plaintiff is claiming is ambiguous here, or is open to different interpretation, is something about which he's shown there is no harm. And what the court found is that the complaint of the plaintiff doesn't mean that the results obtained in the election were flawed or invalid. And I'll explain. There were six directors on the ballot. All six directors were elected. Mr. Miniat doesn't come to this court and didn't come to Judge Gettleman and say there were other people proposed for this board that were not allowed to be on the ballot. He's never made that contention, and it's not on the record. He doesn't come to this court, and he didn't come to Judge Gettleman and said, I wanted to be on the board. He doesn't come to the court and makes no allegation that there was anybody proposed to these boards that was disallowed because it didn't meet the definition. And that is significant, because what he's asking this court to do is to act in the world of hypotheticals and interpret a clause for which he has not been harmed. The other thing that we need to look at is who is on this board. Mr. Miniat doesn't contend that the board members actually constituted are not qualified. The board is comprised of the president. He is clearly an involved director. Mr. Miniat doesn't disagree. The other board member is Ron Miniat, Kevin's uncle. Ron Miniat is expressly stated in the agreement to be deemed one of the involved directors that meets the test. The other board member elected was his father, Ed Jr. He is expressly deemed to meet the test of involved director. Another director is John Moulton, the longtime company controller. Mr. Miniat has never contended that Mr. Moulton doesn't meet the test. And then who are the other two directors on the board? Two directors who are not employees: one, plaintiff's sister, Linda Diekman, and the other, plaintiff's cousin, Mike Miniat. He does not contend and has never contended that those board members are not qualified, that they don't meet any of the definitions, that, as a matter of fact, that they don't even meet the defendant's interpretation of this clause. And that's why when Judge Gettleman addressed this, he said the plaintiff's complaint don't rise to the level of harm. And the courts below and this court does not sit to give advisory opinions as to the meaning of contracts. And that's what Mr. Miniat is asking this court to do here today. The defendants conducted these board elections in a manner that were reasonably designed to achieve what the parties had agreed to in the agreement. in the agreement, they said, we're putting in these clauses, and this is an express statement, in order to ensure continuity of management and continuity of control. The three shareholders that had this agreement drafted stated that, and Mr. Miniot agreed to be bound by that when he was gifted his shares from his father. The defendants conducted an election that ensured that the majority was comprised of involved directors and that it had on it the president, and that the shareholders were allowed to choose among others who was to put on the board. There's no evidence that anyone was denied an opportunity to run or denied an opportunity to be listed on the ballot. The elections achieved the required objective, and there's nothing in this record to suggest that Judge Gettleman's conclusions or any of his findings should be reversed. We respectfully request the court to affirm the decision below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roach. Mr. Minion?
You'll see from one of the ballots that are attached that we as shareholders were told that in bold lettering, votes which are cast in a manner contrary to the foregoing provisions will not be counted in regard to the voting for the election of the board. When we showed up at the meeting, we were given the ballot and we were specifically told, if you don't comply with these percentage requirements, if you don't vote for only management employees under our definition, we will disregard your ballot. That was the issue. That is why this proceeding started and why we're here today. I'm not asking, well, in a sense, it's a declaratory judgment. It's not an advisory opinion. I was forced to vote in a certain way, which I did. And I'm asking the court for a definition now of involved directors. If you rule, if you can look at this and you rule as I guess is a possibility, that involved means management employees, then that decision, I guess, will go down, and then the shareholders are required to vote for only management employees in control of the board of directors, and the issue will be over. But if you look at this and you actually try to apply any rules of construction to say that involved means management employees is unjustified. The agreement could simply have said you must vote for a majority of management employees, which shall include the president and certain management employees. But it doesn't say that. It uses the word involved in quotation marks. That requires some definition of involved. And to simply eliminate the word, and if you can't define it, then it's an indefinite provision that should be stricken. If you can rule and define it, then that's what we're asking the court to do.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Thank you to all counsel. The case is taken under